That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. 1 John chapter 5, we're just going to take a couple of verses, and that's what we're going to be talking about is prayer. Prayer is so very vital to our life as a Christian. So very, very vital. I'd like to tell you tonight that I am no authority on prayer. I do not believe there are no Ph. degrees in prayer. In fact, I believe that we're really all just in the kindergarten stage in prayer. We begin our prayer life through Jesus Christ when we're saved, and we continuously to grow all the way through our Christian life by the way of prayer, and we grow in prayer. So I do not know a lot about prayer, but I'm learning all the time. As I said, going through my procedures, I learn a lot about prayers. I learn a lot about answer prayer. I learn a lot about the power of prayer. And it's just a growing process in our Christian life is prayer life and praying for others and how vital it is to be able to pray. I was reading where a poll was taken, and it says that 78% of the people in the United States prays at least once a week. And also said the poll said that 60% prays at least once a day. And only 1% of the people in the United States never prays. I don't know how accurate that is, but I guess it was taking into consideration all the religions of our country. Because, you know, the cults, they pray, too. They say they pray. The Hindus pray. We have a lot of Hindus. And the Muslims in our country, you see on television where they bow and pray. And, you know, the Jehovah Witness, the Mormons, and all the cult religions of the world, and even our country, they claim they pray. But they believe in prayer. Of course, we know that a cult, they ain't praying to nothing but their idols is all they're praying to. The cults, they can't pray. They say they're praying to God, but remember now that all these religions that I just told you about, they believe in an eternal God. They believe in a creator. There are not too many atheists in the world. People believe there's a God, there's an eternal God, but they just don't believe in Jesus. And you know what the Bible says, Jesus Christ says, you've got to come by me. Without Jesus Christ, there would be no prayer for us to reach the God of the universe. He's the God of the universe. He's the creator of all mankind. God is the creator of all mankind, but he is not the father of everybody. He's the creator of everybody. You see, that's what the cults don't realize, that God is not their father, that God is their creator. He also creates animals and bugs and insects and everything else, but he's not the father of them. He's our father. When we get saved, we got somebody that we can say, hey, daddy. Daddy, isn't that something special about that word? He said, Abba, Father, you know, isn't that something that we all can remember, most of us can, about saying, Daddy? Daddy, I'd like to ask you something. You know, you can go up to somebody else and talk to them and say, I want to ask you something. But when you say Daddy, don't that take on a whole new meaning? And that's what the Christian life is all about, that we got somebody we can say, Daddy, I got something I want to talk to you about. You know, that's what prayer is. I understand prayer is that we're just talking to God. It's just that simple, talking to God. Very, very vital to the Christian life. Let's read a couple of these verses again here this night, and verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have this petition that we desire of him. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this privilege we have here this night to recognize in your holy word where you tell us to pray that you want to hear from your children. Father, we become your children by a new birth in Christ Jesus. And I know that you want to hear from your children as Lord as our earthly family wants to hear from their children. So, Father, we want to thank you for the privilege that we can talk to you anytime, night or day, in any situation. Father, we want to thank you for this great privilege that you have given us today. And we thank you here this night that we have brought these names to you and we've held up these names. But, Lord, there's so many on our hearts and our mind and these unspoken requests. So many people have a great, great desire here tonight, and this desire, Lord, is met by the needs of prayer. in their life. And Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you, Father, for what you have done for us this day. And Lord, it's such a privilege to know that we are, Lord, your children, and you love us so much, and you was willing to die for us that we may have this life and have it more abundantly. Father, we just want to thank you now in the name of Jesus Christ for this opportunity this night to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. In this book that we've been going through, the First John, for several months, as I told you many times, it's a book of no-so salvation, that we may know we're saved. 39 times, I think, in the book it says, we may know that we're saved. We know saved. It's a test. Everybody ought to know this book of First John, because it's also a test that people know, are they saved or are they lost. So we know that we're saved in this little book, but also it gives us confidence also, not only about salvation, but we have this confidence about prayer. And the same as salvation, we have this confidence that we may know about prayer in this little book. In the prayer that we might come boldly or with confidence. It says in the Lord, this confidence, boldly. Can you imagine the early Christians? The early Christians, how bold they was with confidence whenever they prayed to the Lord. We could have this same type of boldness ourselves. In Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, your boldness, which have great recompense. That means a payment of rewards. Have y'all found out it's not easy to pray sometimes? You know, you're going to go in and pray for somebody. It's kind of hard to pray, isn't it? I mean, I've got some set time that we need to go in there. I usually try to do mine of a morning, and someone say, pray for me, and I try to do that in the morning time. Isn't it always something to come along, you know, the telephone will ring, you know, or somebody interrupt. It's hard to pray. Have you ever checked yourself by time, and you're going to pray 2 minutes or 5 minutes? You sit there and you pray, and that second hand won't be moved about a half inch. And then you're through. It's hard to pray, isn't it? I mean, just get right down in the prayer. It's hard for us to take time to pray. Take time, you know, just to talk to the Lord. And it's amazing, when I was reading about Jesus Christ's disciples, whenever Jesus Christ was walking on earth, those close friends of his and those disciples of his, the inner circle of Jesus Christ, and you know, they asked Jesus Christ for several things. You know, one thing they asked him for? You'd think of you and I and say, Lord, I want you to teach me how to preach. They didn't ask him that. Lord, I want you to teach me how to witness and soul win. Oh, Lord, how we need more soul winners today. And think about Jesus' early disciples about soul winning. But they didn't ask him that. You know what they asked him? Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And you think about that. Lord, teach us to pray. As I said, we begin this walk in our prayer life as we're saved, and then we learn as we grow to the very end of our life. We're always growing and learning, or we should be in prayer. We have boldness and we have confidence in prayer. That's what he said for us, to have confidence. And one way for us to have confidence is a way of direct our prayers. Who do we direct our prayers to? In verse 14, you know what it says. And this is the confidence that we have in him. And who? So we're going to direct our prayers towards who? Remember, towards Jesus Christ. Now, you know, lost people think that they pray a prayer and God hears a prayer. Well, God hears everything in the world, but he don't hear the prayers of a lost person except, Lord, be merciful on me, a lost sinner, and I need to be saved. But as I said, you know, a great percent of people in our country, in our world, all but 1%, they believe in prayer. But what are they praying? They're saying words. They believe in prayer. But just because they believe in prayer, it don't mean anything's happening, especially whenever they're praying to their idols or their occult gods they have in this world. But for us today, for us to have this confidence, and we are directing our prayers to who? Only through Jesus Christ. Because you see, you can't pray unless you pray through Jesus Christ. Because, see, we are a unholy, sinful people, human beings. Now, we can't reach a holy God. No way for us to reach a holy God. Except whenever Jesus Christ came on this earth, died on the cross, then he took me by one hand, and God by the other hand, he became the mediator between God and man. And then by faith, I took his righteousness, and he applied it to my life, And therefore, now through Jesus Christ, I can go to the Lord in prayer because of Jesus Christ. But now people not saved do not know the Lord is lost. They don't have anybody to go through. So therefore, they can't pray a prayer. They can say words. Of course, God hears everything, but he certainly went on. So we direct in our prayers to who? To Jesus Christ. Now also, you think about this. Whenever we pray, we get very, very close to God, do you not? I mean, it don't matter if you close your eyes or open your eyes or no, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. But whenever we pray a sincere prayer, we talking to God, we get very, very close to God. Every time we should pray. Jesus Christ said, you know what? When he lifts his eyes towards heaven, you know, when he prayed, he lifts his eyes towards heaven. The direction of prayer. Now, I don't know where the direction of heaven is. I just believe it's up. But the thing about it is, it's the direction of Jesus Christ. And, you know, this prayer, it suggests, you know, that our acceptance. Because we pray, we enter into a very close presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closets, and when thou hast closed the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Between you and God. You know, I appreciate prayers of everybody. I really do. I don't know how many thousands of people prayed for me and didn't even know me. And I appreciate the prayers. But you know that I can pray for my own self. I don't have to go to a man to pray for me. I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to go to you. You don't have to come to me. We can pray for our own self. And we need to. Thank God for everybody that prays for one another. We should, because we're commanded to do so. But you see, we all can pray if we're saved. We can pray to a living God. And it says he'll reward us. You see, prayer is not like a machine. You know, going up to the hospital, you know, Martha, we punch that button, you know, for that elevator. We punch that button, you know, and here comes that elevator. Prayer's not like that. It's not like push button. Prayer is not like a push button. As you think about it, some people say, well, you read these three scriptures, it's a formula. No, you read these two scriptures and then you mash a button blank, and that's what's supposed to come out. Prayer is not that way. That's not really to pray towards God. It's not a mechanical thing that we do. Prayer is a relationship. Prayer is a relationship, Father. It's a relationship. It's also a fellowship. Relationship by sons of God. And then we have this fellowship. And Hebrews 10:19 also tells us, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we have this acceptance because we have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his son. And then we have this fellowship. And Psalm 65:2 tells us, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. All flesh. God expects everybody to come to him. Understand, when we talk to God, he's the one that accepts us. He accepts us. We talk to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I am his child by a new birth. I've been born again. You must be born again, born from on high. Prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. Prayer is effort, you know, to lay hold of God's willingness, you know, to enter into our heart, into our life. We're asking God whenever we pray for that. We have this access to God. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly. Come boldly where? Unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace in the time of need. You ever had any needs? You ever had any needs? What it say for us to do? We have needs. This says, let us come boldly. Now, we're going to boldly walk up to God, though it means with confidence. Father, I got a need. And I got confidence I can carry to the throne room of grace through Jesus Christ. And there's nothing impossible with God. He said he can meet our needs. Y'all believe God can meet your needs? You got a need? God says, I can meet it with the grace. Well, this grace, he says, find grace to help, excuse me, in a time of need. Boldness. Romans 5:2 tells us, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He's going to bless us in the glory of God. He says, how do you do this? How do you bless us through that? as we stand in grace, we have this hope of the glory of God through Jesus Christ when he died on the cross of Calvary. You remember what it says, the veil in the temple was rent, tore from the top to the bottom, not by man, but by God. You see, that was the first time that mankind could see right into the holies of holies. That was in the temple. There's the holy place, there's a court, and there's a holy place. And you remember we studied in there's the holies of holies, where only the priest, the high priest, could come. You couldn't come. Nobody could come unless they was a Jew and then they was a priest. But even the priest could not go in there unless they was the high priest. And then it says only once a year, and they couldn't go in there without blood. You see, they couldn't, the Jews, all through the Old Testament, they couldn't pray for themselves. They couldn't pray for themselves. Can you imagine? You got some problems, and what you got to do now, you got to run down there, and you're going to have to get a goat or a lamb or some kind of animals, and you got some need in your heart and in your life, and you need to be straightened out. You got to run and get an animal, and you got to carry it down to the priest, and then they got to have to sacrifice, and then they're going to have to offer it to God on that altar and carry that blood. You had to have somebody else do that for you. You couldn't pray. Can you imagine people? You couldn't pray today, this hour. You couldn't pray for yourself. You couldn't pray for your family. You had to go to someone else. You know what? We still have a group of people who believes that. Excuse me. The priest. But now the Word of God says, now we are all priests, every one of us. And the Word of God says we are priests. You in the holy priesthood of believers, every one of us are priests. You know what that means he's telling us? That means every one of us have this responsibility to go right into the Holy of Holies and pray for ourselves and lay our prayers down and holy holy by Jesus Christ. So we have this, and how great it is. Prayer is asking. Also it says there, as we asking and prayer is asking, verse 14, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, that's what prayer is asking, is it not? It is, that's one thing. And also prayer is praising. Most of the time, whenever I go to prayer, I'm always asking God something. Are you, God, I want you to do this, I want you that, God be with them, God do that. Very seldom ever I go in and say, God, I don't want to ask you for anything, but I'd just like to take time now to thank you and praise you. I don't do that very often. Do you? Do you? That's right. Lord, I don't want to really ask anything. You've been so good to me, God. You've met all my needs. I don't want to ask you for anything, but I want to thank you. I don't do that like I should. That's a prayer also. And just praise him. Thank him for salvation. Thank him for his goodness. Lord, could we break out tonight in a praise service of praising God? Thanking God and praising God. Thanksgiving. Thanking for your salvation. For your material blessings, how good God is to us. You know, people say, you know, they love the Lord, but they have a funny way of showing it, don't they? They won't come and worship him at a worship service. And look how good he's been to all of us. And so little it takes for so many of us sometimes to really be unthankful to God as we should. It don't take very much for us to be unthankful. Some little thing, you know, we can make so many excuses not to come and worship God at a time that he says for us to come worship him. He set aside a day and also Wednesday and that we need to come. And it takes such a little bit of effort sometimes for us to do what we shouldn't do. You know, things that places we should go, we can go on a Monday just as good as we could on Sunday, but we'll go on Sunday. Just thank God, you know. He's so good to us. And then as you think about this prayer, prayer is a direct prayer to a specific prayer. Specific. Like we say, Lord, save the whole world. That's a prayer, but you see, it needs to be specific. We need to name some names. That's the reason I like for us to call out names. We have a lot of names we have in our prayer box. But if I say, Lord, I want to pray for everybody in that prayer box, and we should, But if he has healed someone in that prayer box, I wouldn't know who he healed. If you know what? If God answered some of your prayers, you wouldn't know whether he answered or not. Isn't that right? If he heals someone in that prayer box, how am I to know? Because see, we need direct prayer to a name, to be specific to what it is. Not just Lord, stick your head out in the winter and say save the world, but we need to call some names out. That's what doing these commitment cards that you've come got, and hope that you got your name on it. That we got some people, some names, so when he answers a prayer, you know that God will answer your prayer request. If he answers some of your prayer, would you really know it? But really, the confidence of prayer. There's also awesome laws in the Word of God that govern answers prayer, and then there's guidelines. In Matthew 21 and 22, it says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, there's one of the guidelines right there. You know what he said? In Matthew, he said, "Believe." Said, "Believe." That's one of those guidelines. Believe is very, very important to answer prayer. All these things, God says, is possible if we just believe. That's hard sometimes. Well, we know we need these guidelines. We pray in the name of Jesus. Like I said, remember now, when you pray, you're praying in the name of Jesus. That's the way you reach God. All prayers got to be in the name of Jesus, or they're not going to get very high. Because I said that's the only way we can reach the Holy of Holies through the name of Jesus Christ. John 14:14 says, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Remember, in my name, Jesus Christ. We pray through Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? In my name, you pray a prayer. It means if Jesus Christ was praying for one thing, we'd be praying the same thing that I would be praying. The same thing I'd be praying, same thing he'd be praying. And then abide. Remember that fellowship. We've got to stay in fellowship. John 15:7. "If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." There's a will. There's staying in contact with God. Staying in contact with God. To be in fellowship. There'll be no unconfessed sin in our life. No disobedience in our life. God's told us a lot of things. If we have this unconfessed sin in our life, we know. It says you this abide. You're not abiding. You know, you're still son, but you know, you broke fellowship. Can a backslider have any power to pray unto God? No. Because that's unconfessed sin in their life. They got to get back with God. No good for them to ask anything except, "Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sin." Now, most of us have been saved long enough to know what I'm talking about. You ever got one of these little hidden sins in your life? And don't look at me so religious tonight, but you know what I'm talking about. Nobody knows but you and God, but you know it's there. You know what you've done. You know how you think. You know how you feel. You know about this secret sin that we know that we, probably every one of us has had these little secret sins and no one knows. Your wife don't know. Your husband don't know. But you know that God knows, and you know that you know. And maybe this little secret sin in your life. And you're going to pray. And you know what? When you go to pray, and that, you know what? The Holy Spirit brings that to your mind. You got to get right. You know, he'll bring it to your mind every time. He'll bring it to you. He'll bring it to you. You pray, but you think about this. He'll bring it to you every time. So just remember that. We must desire God's will. We must want God's will to be done in our life more than anything else. You know what? That would take care of our attendance at church, wouldn't it? I take care of our attendance at church. I've come, Jesus Christ says, I've come to do the Father's will. Romans 12:2 tells us, "And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Lord, I want your will in my life because I know that is the best thing for me. Did y'all know that? Lord, I want your will in my life. Can you say that tonight? Lord, I want your will in my life. Why would we want God's will in our life? Because that's the very best thing that we could ever, ever have. The best for our life is to be in God's will and do what God wants for us to do. That's the best way. That beautiful road that we travel on is God's will. You see, that highway leads to Patterson, and it's not too bad a road from here to Patterson on the highway. We could probably make it in this dry weather if we drove in the ditches. Probably all the way to Patterson, most of the way, anyway. But isn't it a lot smoother up on the highway than it is riding through the ditches? That's what it is for the will of God in our life. I mean, the highway's there. He's made a way for our life. Is that not right? He's got a way for every one of us. But we want to get down in the ditch, and we want to stay in that ditch a lot of times. We must discern God's will. When we ask God for something, how do we know it's His will? When we go ask Him? Well, there's two guidelines. Colossians 1 and 9 also tells us, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, there's two guidelines we always know. One of it is that will is God's Word will tell us. God's Word will tell us. God will reveal His will in your life one way, by His Word and through His Word. If we don't never read the Word of God, not study the will of God, you're not never, and I'm not never, nobody's going to never know the will of God for their life. But He will show you the will of God. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, and it reveals to you the Son of God in a way that you live our life. Guides you into everything as we surrender your will. Romans 8 and 27 says, "And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the what? The will of God." It's the will of God. As you study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit gives you promises, it gives you assurance, and it gives you direction, discerning the will of God. That's the only way we're going to know it. It's through reading the Word and studying the Word of God. That's the reason we need to do that. We're really also commanded to do that. But also, we must do the will of God. We must desire the will of God. We must discern the will of God. But we must do the will of God. In Matthew 6 and 10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." As it is in heaven. If God tonight would make known His will in your life right now, would you be willing to do it? If He would make known, say, what is the will for me? What it is? If He was to make known, would you be willing to do it? What would it be like? You see, God's will for your life and God's will for all Christian life is not like a cafeteria. It's not like a buffet. You like to go to? I like to go to buffets. If I want to eat out, I like to go to a restaurant and have buffets, don't you? Where I can pick and choose what I want. I don't have to worry about order off menu. If I don't like, I don't have to get this if I want to go by and get some more. God's will is not like that. God's will is not like that. God wants you to do His will regardless. Are you willing to do it? Hebrews 10 and 25, one of the will of God that it says, "Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as we see that day of approaching." You see, people won't know the will of God, but they won't even do what God tells them to do. And the simple thing is just come to worship God. Sunday school, Wednesday, you know, just come to worship. That's the simple thing He commands. That's the will of God. Commands for us. In John 7 and 17, he said, "If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrines, the teaching, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." See, if you want to do the will of God, you find out in the Word of God, whether it be the will of God in the doctrine of God's Word. So we have this assurance to know we must be totally surrendered to the will of God. And then you see the confidence we have in prayer in verse 15, as we've already have already read in verse 15. "And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have this petition that we desire of Him." The assurance of this answered prayer. In Jeremiah 3:33, it also tells us, "Call upon me, or call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." The assurance that He's going to answer our prayers. And we know He hears us, He said there in verse 15. When we meet the condition of the surrender will of God, then we know He hears us. We pray into a Savior that we have this confidence, know that He hears us, and He's going to answer our prayers in these guidelines. You know, I was reading about these idols, and I was reading about in China where they had this idol God they pray to, a hideous temple God they pray to, and how they pray is they write their prayers down on a piece of paper, and they roll it up, and they put it in a mud ball, and they throw it at the idol. If it hits the idol and sticks, the prayer will be answered. Isn't that something? If it don't, and it falls off, your prayer won't be answered. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that? Aren't you glad we don't have to do that? Because we have this condition and we know that he hears us. And we have this attainment of the answer in verse 15. You know, there's several ways that we know that God answers prayer, don't we? Several ways. Sometimes he answers direct, right now. I know Peter was, he was about to drown, you know, and he says, Lord, save me. Lord saved him right then, just like that. He lifted him up. Have you ever prayed direct, right on the spot? You ever been going through Atlanta, Georgia, with all that traffic and going about 75 miles an hour? And you in the left-hand lane, you need to get in the right-hand lane. Lord, you better help me and help me right now because car coming by me 75 miles an hour and I need to get over in four lanes of traffic's coming. Boy, you better pray and pray in a hurry. He better work and work in a hurry, hadn't he? Joyce closed her eyes every time we drive through Atlanta. She don't know that I do too. But we pray God has to answer our prayer or something to answer it right now. And he does that. He answers it sometimes right now. Sometimes he delays his answer though. And we get very impatient. Isaiah 30 and 18 tells us, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. I don't like to wait. I'm very impatient. But you see, Mary and Martha was very impatient too, and God delayed his coming because Lazarus was sick and they come to him, but God delayed his coming. He delayed his coming that he might be in order to do greater things. Sometimes God delays our prayers that he might do greater things in our life and the glory of God might be revealed. And even through suffering, like I said, I don't like to be sick. I don't like to have pain and I don't like to hurt. And you know, whenever I get a pain, I get hurt, and I get sick, and I'm going to say, Lord, move it right now. I don't want you to wait. I want to get better right now. Then, Lord, I don't get better right now. Why? Well, you see, there's some things through suffering that God revealed to you, won't reveal to you no other way. There's a reason why we have to go through this suffering. And he also answers God in a different way than what we ask. Aren't you glad of that? Most of you here have been married before, and I'm telling you, you remember whenever you was young, before you got married, and man, that was a girl that you wanted, and that was a boy that you wanted, and whenever you was young, you say, pray, oh God, give me that one, give me that. Now, ain't some of you glad that God didn't answer your prayer that way? Joyce is. Because sometimes God, you know what, gives us different things than what we ask for. Aren't you glad of that? Because sometimes we don't know what to ask for. And sometimes God just says, he just denies our prayers because he knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. Psalm 2 and 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathens of thy inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. You know, God says sometimes I'm just going to deny, and I'm not going to give you what you want, but he says, I'll give you the best. I'm glad that God don't answer all my prayers, aren't you? I'm glad God denies some of my prayers. You look back at your life and what you prayed for sometime, and you're glad that God didn't answer all your prayers the way you asked them. He denied because he has something better for you. I'm glad that God didn't answer some of my prayers the way I asked it. A lot of time we ask a jealous prayer on ourselves. God said, I love you too much to give you what you asked for. I'm glad of that. He knows more about what we need than what we knew ourselves. Amen. So prayer, tonight prayer is just asking and talking to our Heavenly Father. God, I just want to tell you, I thank you. And I wish we had time for a little testimony service tonight, but we don't. But it's not so much important that I hear what you have to say, but it's important what God hears what you have to say about being thankful. Not only that we say it with our mouth, but we can mean it with our heart. As we'll go back home tonight and be standing, we'll be dismissed.